sermon. Or maybe come for a midweek Bible study. And then they just keep you going, and then someone else will bring you a lesson until your last breath, and you've had thousands and thousands of lessons in your life. What did they all do? They just gave you enough food to make it to the next lesson. So for those who are counting now, someone's going to go back on your calendar and try to figure it out. It's about 1,000. That's a lot of lessons. And 1,000 at all. I can tell you one thing that I preached on every time. Every time I gave you the plan of salvation. And I think that's really important. If you get up and you have the opportunity to speak to an audience, especially during church time, you need to tell them the plan of salvation, because it might be the only time they ever come to services. And if they do come, they can't say that they never heard it. And they've heard how to, they may not understand it right away, but they've had the opportunity to hear how to become a Christian. Okay, please stand for the reading. It's from Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 31. 6:31. Here's what the Lord says. 6:31. Therefore, don't worry, saying, what are we going to eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And the congregation said, amen and amen. Please be seated. We just sang a very popular song. In fact, we sang Wednesday night too. Trust and obey. Well, the lesson today is the reverse of that title. Today's lesson is obey and trust. Our theme this month that goes on with the theme for the year is to submit, which means to obey, and then to trust. Now, to illustrate that, let me just show you in Acts 2:38, and just a quick illustration to show you what it means to submit and to trust. Acts 2:38, you're familiar with this. Peter says to what? Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Here you have the command to submit to. I want you to submit. I want you to repent and be baptized. And if you'll do that, and you do that because you trust in what God said, you'll have the remission of sins. And that's what the daily life of a Christian is made up of. Submitting to God's commands, and then trusting in what God says will be your reward by submitting to those. The word submit now, to submit to God, it means to place one's life under the authority of another. Here it is, to under the authority of God. And as Christians, we submit ourselves to the authority of God. And we find that, of course, in the Bible. Now, there's other people in the Bible, and there's other authorities that we're told also to submit to. In Ephesians 5:22, in Ephesians 5 and in verse 22, it tells wives, 5, and in verse 22, here's what it says. In Ephesians 5, and in verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. That means under the authority, somebody has to have the leadership, and it's not a dictator. It's the idea of working together. But wives, you submit to your husbands. Hebrews 13 and 17. Here's another group that you're to submit yourself to. Hebrews 13 and 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. That's talking about the elders here. So the idea is of members of a local church, you're to submit to the authority of the local elders. Now, 1 Peter 5 and in verse 5. Here's another group of people. The younger people. Here's what it says. Submit yourselves to the elders. Now, here the elders here, I think, are those that are older than you, and which would include elders in the church. But the idea is, young people, you submit to the elderly, the wiser, to the older person. And also in verse 5 there, yes, all of you be submissive to one another. So here it says you're to submit to one another. That means under the authority of each other. And there'll be different times in life where your neighbor you could be your a brother and sister in the Lord, whatever it might be, someone who has authority, someone who's in charge of something or leading it, you be submissive to their authority. But most important, that's our lesson this morning, is James 4 and verse 7. Here's what it tells all of us now, and that goes with our theme for the month. Therefore, James 4, 7, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Submit. So put your authority, put yourself under the authority of God. Now, submitting to God, as submitting to anyone, submitting to your husband, to the local church elders, to someone older than you, to each other, that's a hard thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do, because that means somebody else is taking the leadership or taking the control. And to do that, you got to humble yourselves. To do that, you got to say that somebody else in this situation is smarter than you. Nobody likes to think someone else is smarter. And even if they're not smarter than you, you're going to give them a chance to show their wisdom and their knowledge for at least a few moments in trying to help you. It also, again, has somebody else is in control of your life during this time. And so you must see yourself as somebody to be submissive. I need some help. I need help. I need some guidance. I need some instruction. I need some wisdom. And that's exactly what it is, being submissive to God. You're saying, God, I need your help. I need your guidance. I need your instruction. I need your wisdom. When you submit to God, you put God first. Here's an interesting verse in John 3 and verse 30. Not only do you put God first, you put somebody else second. And you're really number three. John 3 and in verse 30. John 3 and in verse 30. It says, he must increase, that's referring to Jesus, but I must decrease. To submit to somebody is the idea to God. I submit to God. Then I submit to other people. Then I'm number three. So the idea of submitting to somebody, it's hard. But God expects you to submit to God. So as the song said, we trust and obey. No, it's really the opposite. We obey God's commands, and then we trust in what he's promised us. And Christ is not asking us to do something that he didn't have to do. Christ submitted to his Father. And a few moments ago, Tim read to us from Philippians 2 that he left heaven. He had a special place. He had honor. He had power, and he gave it all up. He submitted to the authority of the Father. The Father said, I want you to go to earth and be a lowly servant. Now, he could have said, hey, hold it. I don't want to go. Do I have to go? He said, no. He submitted to his authority. He gave up his position, we'd say, the honor, just being in heaven, to come to a temporary earth, to be around sin, to be mistreated. But why did he do it? Because that's what submissive. That's what it means to be submissive. That's what it means to submit to God. And he wasn't asking us today to do anything that he didn't do. He knows what it's like to submit. And then we have other people throughout the Bible. They submitted to God. Noah did. Noah, I want you to obey. I want you to submit to my team. Build an ark. Why? What was he hoping to get? Trusting that he'd be saved, that the floods wouldn't destroy him. He'd never seen a flood. He didn't know all about it. So you have him submitting and then trusting. You have Joseph continuing in his life to submit to God, being the best he could, whether he was in the master's home, whether he was in prison, and trusting that God would take care of him, and he did. You have David submitting and trusting. You have Stephen submitting to God, preaching, telling the people, you're a hypocrite, you're just like your forefathers. You won't listen to God then, you don't listen to him today. He trusted, he submitted to, he preached, and he trusted that God would take care of him, and the heavens opened up, and he saw Jesus. And we go on and on and on to today. God says to his Christians, to all of us today, I challenge you, I want you to submit to me daily. Submit. And then trust that you'll be taken care of. You'll be supplied with all that you need. You'll have a home in heaven for eternity. So that's what the Lord says. So you might say, well then, why should you submit daily? Notice I said daily. It's not something, as you see, we end the lesson. It's a lifestyle. Because our love for him. He loves us. He gave us a beautiful universe to live in. Larry mentioned that in his prayer. We have a beautiful universe to live in. And really, to keep on sending these satellites, they sent up the last satellite they just sent out with a telescope. I got a kick out of what they said. They sent it out. It's going to go out so far in the universe, and it's going to be able to see so far out in the universe, we're going to be able to know and see when the Big Bang Theory really started. I said, how goofy is that? We're spending billions of dollars to find something that never happened. But that's the way the world thinks. That's man's wisdom. It's the only planet that anyone lives on. I'm sorry. I remember I asked Don Patton one time, I said, well, what do you think about Bigfoot? You know, they found Bigfoot in every country in the world. In some states, in the United States, they find them every day. They see them every day. And so I said, well, what about that, Don? What do you think about it? And Don said this, show me some bones. Until they show me some bones, I don't believe it. And that's the truth. Show me some bones. Show me some proof that people live on. They don't. They live on this planet because the Lord gave us a beautiful place to live. And we need to love him for it. He loves us so much he sent his son to die for us so we can have a home in heaven. He loved us and said, you know what? You can be in my family. You can be in my family. You can be in my kingdom. You can be in my church. It doesn't matter if you're poor or rich, male or female, Jew or Greek. You can be in my family. He loves us so much, he's preparing a mansion for us right now. He loves us so much that he's promised us eternal life. How can you not submit daily to somebody like that? How can you not? We love him. That's why we do. That's why we submit to him. And it's a lifestyle every day. We submit to him daily because he's the creator and he sustains everything. He made everything and he keeps on giving us the sun and he keeps on giving us air and he gives us gravity. He gives us food. He gives us water. Every day he gives it to us. We got to say thank you. We got to say thank you. So you submit to him. You submit to him. Because he brings us eternal victory. Look at Joshua 1 in verse 8. This is a great verse. Joshua 1, back in the Old Testament. Now Joshua 1 and in verse 8. Here's what Joshua says about God. Joshua 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Referring, I think, to the old law here. Look what it says. But you shall meditate it day and night, Joshua 1, 8, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You'll be a success. You'll have an eternal victory, an incorruptible crown. You got to submit to a person who's going to do that for you. He gives you peace, joy, and protection. That's what he gives us. A peace that passes all understanding. A joy amongst tears, and he protects his. He provides all that we need. Remember, from my reading, what are you worrying about? What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink? Doesn't he take care of the birds? Doesn't he take care of the flowers? He's going to take care of you. You've got a soul. So why should you submit daily? There's why. All that he does for us. Now, when should you do this? When should it start? At your baptism. It's the first time you might say you submit to this God. At your baptism for remission of sins, you are obeying. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. I want to be saved. So you submit to it. And then you trust that you'll be saved. And as you follow him daily, you do the Father's will every day. That's submitting to him. In your dealings with other people, at home, at work, you deal in a loving way. You care about other people. And you show that. You submit to it. You treat your enemies nice. Your neighbors nice. Your boss nice. Your family nice. in your teachings about them. Every day, whether it's in dress, in speech, in example, you show other people who Jesus is by accepting his providence daily. Now, we don't talk much about providence, but providence is a big thing in your life. The older you get, you're going to see God works in your life. It's not a miracle, but he works in your life. And how he does it? Through natural means. Sometimes certain things will happen, and it's God working. And the greatest time of providence, I'd say, in my life, I was living in Salt Lake City. My mother had just had hip surgery. In Canada, when they talk about socialized medicine is great if you have children. Children can go to the doctor every day. Older people have to wait. My mother had to wait 2 years to get a hip replacement. By the time she got a hip replacement, she couldn't move. She had to crawl around because she's 80 years old and they're the last in the line. So the idea of socialized medicine, it may sound nice because it's free, but old people have to wait. When my mother had it, she couldn't get out of bed, so she started getting pneumonia. My sister called me that morning. It was a Monday morning, and I was living in Salt Lake City, and she said, "Paul, you better get here. I don't think Mom's going to make it very long." So I called Delta Airlines. I got a flight from Salt Lake City to Detroit. My flight was to leave. I got to Detroit at 9 o'clock at night, and then I was going to get to Toronto at 11 o'clock. And then that's the earliest, best flight I could get. All the way there to Detroit, I was saying, "Lord, please don't let my mother die." I hadn't seen my mother in a year or so. I said, "Don't let my mother die. Please, let me get there. I mean, he didn't put me on a special flight, and the flight wasn't going any faster. I got off the plane in Detroit, and I heard this announcement. Flight leaving to Toronto, it was 6 o'clock now. I was supposed to get there like at 6:30 and wait 2.5 hours to get on the next flight. They said, "The flight leaving to Toronto is getting ready to close. Please go to gate 5, whatever it is." I ran full speed. I had my carry-on bag. I got to the, and I said, "Is this flight going to Toronto? I'm supposed to leave at 9 o'clock. Can I leave at the 6 o'clock one? Can I go with this one?" She said, "Do you have any bags checked?" I said, "I just have this one." She says, "Well, yes, let me see if they'll open the gate, the door." They opened the door for me. I got on the plane. I don't even know where I sat. I might have sat in the bathroom. I don't care. I sat down wherever they gave me. I sat there. I got to Toronto at about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. I got to the hospital at 9 o'clock. That's when I was supposed to get on the other plane. From 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock, I sat with my mother for 2 hours and we talked. At 11 o'clock, my mother passed away. Now, how in the world did I get? If I would have got that other flight, I wouldn't have made it. How did I get there? How did it all work? Was it a miracle? If it was a miracle, I would have just got there right away. He would have Supermaned me there or something. That's providence. And everyone has some of those things in your life. If you haven't, you will. How can I not submit? I asked him, and I got to be with my mother for 2 hours. And we talked about everything. At the end, she said, "Paul, I'm just tired. I got to go to sleep now." I remember. Just me and my mom. And if it wasn't for the Lord, I would not have been there on time. How could I not submit to him? And you might have the same experiences, but in other things. You got a job, or you got a house, or your child got better, or you got better. How can you not submit to somebody who providentially just cares for you every day? When should you do it? Every day you thank him and you submit to him. And how do you do it? You pray every day and you thank him and you tell him and you help. Ask him for your guidance. You search his word daily so you can learn more about this God that you're submitting to. You continue to be thankful all the time for all the things you have. And you worship him daily. Worship isn't just a time that you do when we all come on a Sunday or Wednesday. Now that's worship assemblies, but you can worship. That's a praise. You can worship him in the car. You can worship him at home. So you can sing a praise to him. You can do lots of things daily. You give your heart, mind, and soul to the Lord. In Philippians 4:8, your thoughts, all that you're trying to think about, you do it every day. Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, You want to submit to the Lord? Then whatever's true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there's anything virtuous, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's what you do, and you do it daily. And most importantly, you confess your sins daily. That's how you submit to them. You confess your sins to the Lord daily. Submitting to God and trusting in Him, it's a lifestyle. It's not just something you do once. You do it when you become a Christian, or maybe when you've done a terrible sin and you confess it. It's a lifestyle. You submit to God. And that's like a lot of times the older Christians will say, see you Sunday night if it's God's will. They're submitting. They don't know what God's will is. They hope they get to come. You submit to God. You trust. And the earlier you start, the easier it'll be. That's why you bring your kids to Bible classes, so they can learn how to submit, learn about God. And it's easy. It's a lot easier for them to be able to submit. And God looks down and says, God bless you for submitting to me. God bless you for keeping my promises. Because I'm going to bless you with a home in heaven. In Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 30. Matthew 12 and in verse 30. Here's what it says. Matthew 12 and in verse 30. The Bible reads, Jesus says, he who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters abroad. So you've got a choice. You can either be with the Lord, you can either submit to him or not submit to him. And again, the reason we submit is because we love him. And we trust he's going to keep us. If you don't believe what the Lord says, if you don't trust in his promises, then there's no, you won't submit. But we submit because we love him. And we want to have that relationship with him. And we trust, we know he can't lie. We're going to have a home in heaven for eternity. Not just with the Lord, but with all the faithful. You know, when you think about the Lord, when you're at a young age, you hear stories. Then finally, you get teenage years, a little older, you start saying, you know what? I wonder if I ought to become a Christian. I wonder if I ought to submit. And then that's why you teach somebody at that age, you know, this is going to be the rest of your life. It's not just a one-time decision. And then that's when you finally say, you know what? I've decided to follow Jesus. That's the same as saying, I've decided to submit to Jesus. And I trust that all the things he's promised, from the forgiveness of my sins to a home in heaven, will come my way. So today, if you're not a Christian, we hope you'll become one. But you got to submit to his plan. You've got to be baptized as a repentant believer for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you're a child of God and it was part of your lifestyle to submit, but you stopped doing it, you've got to come back and confess your sins and tell him that you're sorry. And tell him, I decided one time to follow you, but I'm coming back again. I'm going to follow you. I submit to your teachings, and I trust in your promises. And if we can help anybody in any way to get their life right, we'd love to do that right now while we stand and sing.